عليكم ورحمة الله. Likewise, I would like to thank my dear brother Mehdi and my wonderful nephew Sayyid Ali for their beautiful and powerful poetry, piece of poetry that they gave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and make multiples like them. In a country like this, in a nation like this, we need more of these wonderful individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them safety, health, and wisdom. Also, I was told that we pray for our brother Muhammad Rada Shahbaz, who's resting in the hospital and watching our program, you know, in the live stream over the internet. We usually do the prayers and manujib at the end of the lectures, but since my lecture is special and we do it, you know, I conclude with the salutation of the Imam, therefore we pray for his speedy recovery and for his health right now with recitation 5 times of the Ayatul Kareem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشُفُ السُّوءَ 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 اللَّهُمَّ شَافِ كُلَّ مَرِيضٍ اللَّهُمَّ دَاوِ كُلَّ جَرِيحٍ الْمَرِيضَ الْمَنْظُورَ اللَّهُمَّ أَلْبِسْهُ ثَوْبَ الصَّحَّةِ وَالْعَافِيَةِ وَإِلَى سَلَامَتِهِ تُقْرَأ سُورَةُ الْفَاتِحَةِ قَبْلَهَا الصَّلَوَاتُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد درأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل سبيلا أولئك هم الغافلون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. This ayah 179 of Surah Al-A'raf implicitly invokes the significance and importance of awareness and enlightenment. The translation of the ayah goes this way: we have reserved for Jahannam, we have dedicated for Jahannam plenty of jinn and a human being, whom they have hearts and minds, but they never utilize it. They have eyes, but they never see with it. They have ears, but they never listen with it. They are in equal footing with the cattle. In fact, they are worse. They are considered to be heedless and ghafilin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the power of senses. We have five senses that we feel this external world. We come to receive it and comprehend it with our senses, in addition to our mind and a brain. We have to utilize this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given these blessings and mercies to us for one reason. And that is, we as a human have to see the big picture. Remember the lecture of our respected scholar and brother, Dr. Taqi al-Islam, when he was talking about the big picture that every human being have to consider and see. We as a humans have to know what was the purpose of the creation, why we are here, and where we are going. So if we fail to do so, these tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us are basically useless, redundant, obsolete, do not have any values. Because when we see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to click. It has to click within us. We should see this big picture. We should take the take-home message with us. What is the take-home message? What is this grand objective of the creation? Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, although it is not clearly said, but implicitly is talking about awareness and self-awareness. From this ayah, we inspire our talk. Our talk is inspired by this holy verse. The topic is the impact of self-awareness and enlightenment on our well-being. Inshallah, I will talk about this subject in three segments. The first segment is the definition of self-awareness and enlightenment. What do we mean by self-awareness or awareness and enlightenment and its utility in our daily life? In the second segment, we will look at on which areas Islam and religion put so much emphasis on being more aware. And the third and last part is the emphasis of Islam on the actual awareness itself and the state of lack of awareness that the Muslim nation unfortunately exists on currently. This will be done after your big and loud salawat. The definition of awareness. What do we mean when we say that someone is aware? The dictionary gives a definition. It says that when you say somebody is aware, it's basically it is the ability to perceive, feel, and to be conscious of events, objects, and emotions. If you see a scene, if there is something in front of you, that should come to your mind in order to give you a bigger picture. Your conscious will be aware of that. This is a simple terminology. In biological psychology, they have a little different meaning. It tells you the human perception and cognitive reaction to a condition or event. Meaning if you see something, it has to stimulate your brain. Either you react to it physically or emotionally or intellectually. That reaction is considered to be your awareness. Awareness in Arabic is translated into wa'i. It is called wa'i. And wa'i comes from the word wa'a. Wa'a means container. Anything that is preserved and contained in a container is called wa'a. Therefore, the scholars say that why conscious and awareness is called wa'i, because it contains the objects and things in the mind. The mind protects them, preserves them. When we see an image, that image is imprinted in our mind. Therefore, it is preserved in our mind. Therefore, it is called wa'i, which is awareness. This is the definition of awareness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to awareness. In one ayah, it says, لِنَجْعَلَهَا لَكُمْ تَذْكِرَةً وَتَعِيَهَا أُذُنٌ وَاعِيَةً. From the recitations and narrations of the stories and the tales of the previous nations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have awareness, to be aware of the fate of the previous nations. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعَذِّبُ قَلْبًا وَعَلْ قُرْآنِ. A heart that maintains and preserves Qur'an, meaning recitation of Qur'an and understanding and comprehension of Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish this heart, that heart. Why? Because when you become aware of Qur'an, meaning you not only understand the meaning of Qur'an, rather you look at the conclusion of Qur'an. What is Qur'an trying to tell you? What is the objective of those ayats? When you understand the objective of those ayats, those will be reflected on you, reflected on your deeds. Therefore we behave. Anyone who behaves, he's immune from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day a man came to the Prophet, told him, Ya Rasulallah, allimni al-Qur'an. Teach me the verses of Qur'an. The Prophet, peace be upon him, recited Surah Al-Zilzal. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَالْ. Until he get to this point when he says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. The minute that this guy heard this, he said, enough, Ya Rasulallah, I learned Qur'an. The message has been received. I know what the Qur'an is trying to say. He stood up and left. When he left, the Prophet looked at the people and told them, look at this man. انصرفَ الرَّجُلْ وَهُوَ فَقِيهِ. This man become knowledgeable from a single ayah. Sometimes we recite the entire Qur'an over and over and over, and doesn't add a bit to us, nothing. And this man, from a few ayat, three or four ayats, the Prophet says that this man has become faqih. What is the Prophet trying to say? It's trying to say that this man got to the conclusion of Qur'an. He realized when the Qur'an says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. He knows what the Qur'an is saying. It says that anything you will do, it will be recorded. Meaning what? What is the take-home message? The take-home message is that I should be aware. I should watch myself for any gesture, any words, even any utterance of a single letter that comes from my mouth. I have to watch it. The minute that you realize this, the Prophet says that this man become faqih. He became aware of this. Now there is some misunderstanding and misconception between awareness and knowledge and education. What is the difference between the two? Someone that is aware of something and someone who has the knowledge and education of something. You see, brothers and sisters, knowledge and education is an abstract, a static thing. I read something, I comprehend it, but only stays in the mind. The minute that goes from the mind to my heart and is reflected on my deed, it becomes awareness. It becomes dynamic. The Quran beautifully illustrates the difference. He says that those people whom we give Torah, and by the way, Torah is full of knowledge, full of light and guidance. The Almighty in one ayah says, "Inna anzalna at-Tawrat fiha hudan wa nur yahkumu biha an-nabiyyun." This Torah is full of light, full of wisdom, that the Prophet utilized it for their arbitration, utilized it as a manual, as a guide for their life. Look how much wisdom and knowledge and light and guidance was within Torah. But when it was delivered to the people and they did not understand it, they did not reflect on it, and they did not become aware of it, what does Quran say? It says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةِ كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. The one who takes Torah but without understanding the conclusion of Quran, the Torah, without understanding the take-home message of Torah, is basically some donkey that takes a load of books. Those books could be very valuable. But what benefit the donkey makes? Nothing. Only carrying them. Only getting tired. Energetically getting tired with those books. But it does not reflect anything on him. This is when only stays in the mind. When we never adopt it. When we never reflect, it's not reflected on our deeds. But when it's reflected on our deeds, and we behave by what we learn. Again, Quran gives another example. He says, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. The Prophet teach you Quran, teach you wisdom and knowledge. But before that, what does he do? He clears the way. He cleanses the heart. يُزَكِّيهِمْ. تَسْكِيَ. What تَسْكِيَ means? Means self-cleansing. Meaning that I become aware of what I am learning. I become conscious of my education. At that time, it will be reflected on my deed and on my behavior. I will give you a story. This story could not be, you know, it could be realistic or could be non-realistic. But the morale of the story, the spirit of the story, is befitting to our topic. And probably I have said it a couple years ago, but it's good to repeat it again after your big and loud salawat. When we say awareness, meaning that you read the hidden, you read between lines. There is something obvious, but you get the thing that is not obvious from those, you know, things that are obvious. It says that one day a nomad lost his camel. So he stood on the road asking the travelers. Whoever he sees, he asked him about his camel, whether he have seen his camel. One guy told him, you have lost your camel? He said, yes. Have you seen it? He said, no. But tell me, is your camel one eye? Meaning one eye is gone. And one eye is one. He said, yes, you must have seen it. He said, no, I have not seen it. He said, tell me, your camel is lame, meaning one leg is not functioning well. He said, yes, you definitely have seen it. He said, no, I have not seen it. He said, tell me, your camel doesn't have a tail. Is that right? He said, absolutely. You have stolen my camel. He said, no, I have not stolen your camel. This guy got in trouble. He said, no. Definitely, the features that you told me, the signs that you told me about my camels, no one can know except you, someone who have seen it. And you have seen it, you have taken it. He grabbed him and took him to the judge. The judge asked him, have you seen the camel of this guy? He said, no, I have not seen the camel of this guy. So how did you get those information? And those information get, you know, very accurate. He said, the judge, your honor, I am an observant. I observe. When I walk, I look around my, you know, the roads. I look around myself. When I was walking on the road, I looked at the bushes. On one side of the road, there are bushes. On the other side of the road, there are no bushes. Meaning that the animal was looking at one side. If he had two eyes working, he would go eat from this bush and eat from this bush. But the fact that he was eating only from one side, he had a systematic error. Meaning one eye was shut down. The other one was working. Okay, that was excellent.
What about when you said lame? How did you know that he's lame? He said, Your Honor, I looked at the footprints of the animals. I saw one footprint is deep, inserted in the sand. The other footprint is not much deep. It's shallow. It's gone, basically. Therefore, I realized that the animal is putting his heavy weight on one leg while relieving the other one. He said, MashaAllah. What about the tail? How did you know that the camel didn't have a tail? He said, I looked at the dropping of the camel. When the camel drops, due to the tail, he scatters them everywhere, unbiased, this side and that side. But since this camel doesn't have a tail, I saw the droppings only concentrated in one area. Therefore, I realized that this camel doesn't have a tail. Just by observing, just by looking, I realized this. Otherwise, I have not seen a camel. Believe me, brothers and sisters, if 1%, 2% of Arabs, of those nomads, have that much awareness, the status of Arab would be much better than what they are now. Why? Because this guy has an awareness. He's aware of what he sees. He has a deep observation of what he looks. This is called awareness. Some people think that awareness and enlightenment is a work of extravagance, an extra thing, something that is really not necessary. You can have it, good to have it. You can't have it, doesn't matter. As long as you work, you provide for your family, you have a shelter and you have a car, that's it. As long as you have a means of income, that's it. But the data and evidence shows otherwise, brothers and sisters. With more awareness, with more enlightenment, the quality of our life gets better. Someone who's a businessman, if he's aware of the economic opportunities and economic risk, for example, the risk of the financial, business, of the stock market, for example, or the opportunities of a certain stock, if he knows them well, he will perform very well. A student, if he knows what are the subjects that are more important currently, and which colleges are the best, the ranking of colleges, the fields that he studies before he goes to college, if he's aware of that, his choice will be much wiser than someone who doesn't know those stuff. You see, as a US citizen, if I know about the tax laws and the tax procedures and the loopholes, I can save myself, a lot of dollars. According to the IRS, and I took this from their website or associated website, it says that in 2011, there was about $1 billion, equal of $1 billion of unclaimed refunds. $1 billion resting with IRS without people claiming it. Why? Because they are not aware. They don't know how to claim it. Now, the government waits for 3 years. By the way, California was state number one, with almost $70 million, with 104,000 cases of unclaimed refunds sitting in the IRS. The government waits for 3 years. After three years, what happens? The entire money goes to Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam will possess them, will claim them. This is due to what? To our unawareness. If I am aware how I get there, I will be, please don't ask me, I don't know either. You need to find a lawyer, you need to find an attorney to help you. Now some people tell you, a CPA, an attorney, and those type of people also, they're not very honest. They wish you to go into trouble, legal trouble. They always wish that we go through legal trouble so they can make money and profit from us. And the doctor wishes to be sick and sickened, so we go and visit his office. And the car mechanic wish our cars, you know, breaks down so he can reap the benefit. Then who's left? Maybe the burglar, because he's the only one who wished that we become rich and wealthy so he can come and take care of the business. So, again, going back to the subject, it is the awareness of brothers and sisters. You can see it in every level of our lives. When you look at the Islamic teachings, it tells you, of course, again, implicitly, not explicitly, there are multiple areas that Islam emphasizes the awareness. To walk with an open eye. To understand the subject. To understand the field. For the sake of the well-being of people. I will be touching about a couple or three of those areas. The first area, brothers and sisters, it is our health and well-being. The medical aspect of it. You see, Islam puts so much emphasis on the well-being, on the healthy well-being. To have a healthy body. To have a healthy mind. You see, when he talks about Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam, what does he say? He says, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِ, in the case of Isa, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا. Peace on me on the day that I was born. What does it mean? What does it mean that peace on me? Meaning that I am created devoid from any birth defect, from any congenital disease. This is when it says that by birth, this person was at peace. This is what the scholars say. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Isa and Yahya a healthy body. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, in his beautiful and eloquent dua, dua Arafah, he says, Allahumma lakal hamdu kama khalaqtani faja'altani sami'an basira. Wa lakal hamdu kama khalaqtani faja'altani khalqan sawiyya. Rahmatan bi. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my thanks and appreciation to you for creating me with full senses. My eyes working, my ears are working, my senses are working. خَلَقْتَنِي خَلْقًا سَوِيًّا. Defect devoid from any congenital disease, any birth defect. Islam puts so much heavy emphasis on the well-being, on the healthy states of minds and bodies. Today, when you look at the most deadly diseases, the contagious one, the pandemic diseases, it tells you when you look at those diseases, for example, cholera, malaria, AIDS, you will see those have higher rates in nations with low literacy rates. In nations that are considered to be illiterate or low literacy rates, you see those diseases are very common, very high. What does that tell you? What does that translate to? Translate to people, you know, have lack of awareness. They don't know how to combat this disease. They don't know how to figure it out, to stay away from this disease. Today, you know, sometimes you see a single sign, something, for example, bleeding in the gum of the mouth. That some doctors say that this little bleeding that to so many people is considered to be insignificant. By the way, I'm not trying to, you know, push you to go to the dentist. I'm not working for the dentist, but I'm just giving you an example. That in insignificant things, like a bleeding in the gum in the mouth, could be a symptom of a serious disease, a serious dysfunction in liver and kidney. A single bleeding in the mouth. A few months ago, one of our respected relatives, he passed away. He was an alim. He's related to Ayatollah Sayyid Fadl al-Milani. Sayyid Munir al-Milani. This man passed away a few months ago. His cousin, Sayyid Fadl al-Milani, told us that prior to his death, for a few months, he had some pain in his head, some pains in the eyes. When he checked with the doctors, the initial prognosis was that you had a chronic disease like migraine. Go rest, nothing is important. They gave him tablets for the headache. But that pain persisted and persisted. When he went and did the second diagnosis, it turned to be that he has a malignant tumor in his head, which was too late. After a few days, he passed away. Why? Because of lack of awareness. Today, studies and data suggest that there are some deadly diseases. If we are more aware about them, they will be reduced substantially, like colon cancer and breast cancer. Those two diseases, two deadly diseases among men and women, we can combat them and reduce them just by little awareness, tiny little awareness. If we change the diet habit, what we eat, we can be immune. The ladies, the women, if they know how to self-examine themselves, they can be immune from this deadly disease. Where do those come from? All come from awareness. Today, the focus in the medical field is not doing, you know, a very complicated and complex and difficult surgeries. This is not the focus, which is called the tertiary care. In fact, their focus, even in the advanced countries, is on the primary care, called the preventive medicine. What does it mean, preventive medicine? Meaning a tiny little tablet or a single immunization will prevent the medicine. Give you a pamphlet or a brochure, tells you, here's what you need to do. Avoid these type of food. Avoid these type of items. Do not expose yourself to the sunlight. These are the little things that we try to follow that will prevent the disease. These came from what? All from awareness. The more we are aware, the better our health system will be. This is one area. The second important area, brothers and sisters, is the awareness related to family affairs. Many people, many parents, fathers and mothers still don't know. They are unaware how to treat their children. They are unaware how to treat themselves, each other. We lack this knowledge. We lack this intelligence dealing. Many parents have children. Those children are God's trust in our hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow will ask us about our children. What did you do to them? Just recently, I was watching the CNN. They give, you know, very scary numbers, scary figures about the obesity within the children, within the teen years. Plenty, I don't remember exactly what was the figure, what was the percentage. But a very high number, high percentage of the teens, the adolescents, they suffer either from malnutrition or from obesity. Due to what? Due to eating junk foods. This junk food comes from where? From the fact that myself as a father or my wife lack the awareness that these kind of foods can cause obesity, can cause, you know, diabetes, can cause different kinds of diseases. In addition, not only that, we sometimes pay so much attention to the physical well-being of the children, but we are careless about their mental well-being. We don't care about their education. Or if we care about their education, for example, we make sure that we send them to the best schools. And afterward, we send them to tutors, private tutors, to teach them. And after that, we send them to extracurricular classes like taekwondo and piano lessons and all of those. But we forget about their behaviors. We don't know what kind of behavior they have. If one day, God forbid, they don't go to school, that is considered to us an Armageddon. Oh, how wouldn't you go to school? But I am neglectful as a father. I am careless that whether my 15 years old or 16 years old son or daughter don't know how to make a wudu. Doesn't know Salat al-Maghrib is a 3 rak'ah or 5 rak'ah or 7 rak'ah. To me, I'm careless. These are the trusts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hands. We have to deal with them properly. If you see your son, your daughter, at 3 a.m., 2 a.m., sitting surfing on the net, never think that he's solving calculus problems. No problem. Don't ever think that way. If you think that way, you're fooling yourself. Excuse my language. Be alert. Have awareness. Just recently, I was listening to a security official from Australia. Says that those people, those individuals who joined ISIS and became fanatics, those were the ones who were sitting on the social media chatting and talking, you know, late at night, where their parents are having good deep sleep. They think that their children are doing their homeworks. This is a sign. If you see some kind of thing, this is a warning sign. Think about it, what they are doing. Either they are deviant, God forbid, doing something that is obscene, or, God forbid, they're going to fanatic groups. We as parents, we as a father or mother, we have to sit with the children. Today, unfortunately, in some Muslim communities, inshallah, we don't have this problem in this community, but I have been in different communities here in the U.S. One of the challenging problems that they have a problem with their adolescent, you know, children, where they are joining gangs, problem with alcoholism, problem with drug dealing, and things like that. How do we solve these problems? Is when we take our children, make them sit, and we make them aware of it. We need to explain those two things to them. How many minutes we have so far? MashaAllah. Okay, we have about 10, 15 more minutes. Salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. InshaAllah. The last area that Islam emphasizes on being aware and use our awareness is the religious affairs. You see, brothers and sisters, this fanatic group, ISIS, just recently, it says that more than 40,000 individuals have joined Daesh within the last 7 to 8 months. How did they recruit those people? Only 7,000 of them come from European countries. 7,000 of those individuals came from European countries. How did they recruit them? When they brainwashed them. When they religiously brainwashed them. What is the idea of ISIS? I want to make, you know, my speech short and streamline everything. What is the idea, the main idea of ISIS? ISIS belongs to the group of Salafis. You know Salafis? What does Salafi mean? Salafi means that in order to have a better Islam, in order to follow the true path of Islam, we have to revert back to the forefathers, to the Sahaba, to the companions of Rasulullah. That's why meaning Salaf. Salaf means the ancestors. The forefathers. Meaning that you go to the Sahaba because they are more wise, more intelligent, and more knowledgeable than we are, because they are closer to the source of Islam at the beginning. Therefore, they have full of knowledge. They are full of knowledge. So, we have to follow their footstep. Therefore, they call themselves Salafis. At the surface, it makes very logical sense. We are following the forefathers of Islam. But with little thinking, the fallacy of this claim becomes apparent and evident. The question, when they say we follow the Salaf, we follow the forefathers or the Sahaba. The Prophet had more than 20,000 of those Sahaba. Which one we are following? Which companions we are following? Do we consider all as a whole? One single unit? They had, every one of them had, all of them had a single mindset? Or they were disputing each other? Some Sahaba were disputing other Sahaba. Some Sahaba were in stark contrast to the other companions. Some of them were fighting each other. Some of them were killing each other. Which one of those companions we have to follow? When you look at history, you see one Sahaba like Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, was fighting another set of companions of the Prophet, like Talha and Zubayr. Which one should I follow? If I have to choose, if I have to go and revert to the forefathers, which one of those I should choose? There used to be Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, and there used to be Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And both are considered great companions of Rasulullah. Which one? Should I follow Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, who was in constant battle and struggle with Muawiyah, until Muawiyah extradited him from Sham, sent him to the Rabada, and he died in Rabada? Or should I choose Muawiyah? Did both have same mentality? If they had same mentality, why did they fight? Why there was a dispute among them? Should I follow Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was the treasurer of the third Khalifa, or should I follow the Khalifa Uthman ibn Affan? Which one? Where both were in constant dispute, to the point that the third Khalifa Uthman ordered Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to be beaten, and he was beaten up, and his ribs were broken until he died after a few days from this beating. Whom should I follow? Were both kinds of Sahaba, were all have same paths that I should follow them? When I call myself Salafi, which one of those Salaf I follow? This is something that we have to think about. We have to make aware others about it. You who consider yourself Salafi, which of those Salafis you follow? You have to identify them. This is one fallacy. And the second one, who has said that they are more knowledgeable? Setting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who is the source of knowledge, aside, and setting the Imams, the infallibles, aside. Why? Because Quran attests to their knowledge. Because Quran says, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. When you revert this ayah to ayat al-tathir, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا آبِيَةً. اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The narrations of the Prophet that says, لَا تُعَلِّمُوهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ مِنْكُمْ. It is narrated by both sets, Sunnis and Shia, about Ahlul al-Bayt. Do not teach them, do not go before them, because they are more knowledgeable than they are. Setting those two aside, who said that we have to follow the Sahaba? Because they are closer to the source. Knowledge evolves over time. Knowledge doesn't sit fixated. Rather, it evolves. It progresses, moves. Otherwise, we have to follow those people who lived in the Stone Age. We have to follow the Flintstones. Why? Because they were closer to the origin of the creation. They know how God has created us, therefore we have to follow their footsteps. This is the logic that they use. While science and knowledge always evolves. Look at the school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. When we have ijtihad, what does ijtihad mean? Ijtihad means that I am the student of this instructor, this great scholar. When I study hard, I reach the level that I even contest his own decree. He was my teacher, he was my instructor, but yet I have the freedom to contest what he said. Why? Because I may have gained more knowledge than he did. Therefore, I came up with new solutions. When you look at the Islamic jurisprudence, you see that it has evolved and progressed over time. therefore going back and saying those set of people were knowledgeable, this is a fallacy. This is not right. Let's move on. The last point that I inshallah will conclude with that, it is the emphasis of Islamic, how much Islam has emphasized on awareness. And what is the state of Muslims, unfortunately, today? When you look at Islam, Islam has an emblem, has a slogan. This slogan has came in the first five verses of the Holy Quran. What were those five verses? The first word that was revealed to the Prophet, what was it? Iqra, mashallah. Iqra. That's why the nickname of Muslim nation is Nation of Iqra. Read, analyze, recite. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ اقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. Look how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions اقْرَأْ, recite, understand, analyze. Whom? The Lord that have taught you with pen. You know, emphasizing on reading, on understanding. How many books a Muslim individual reads per day? How many books are published in the Islamic world today, in the Arab world today? Just go, punch in some words, and look at the, do some Google search. You will be amazed on the amount of books that are published in the Arab world. In China, only in China, there are more than 400,000 titles every year get published, only in China. The entire Arab world, which consists of, I don't know, 30 countries, 35 countries, I don't remember how many countries, but the entire Arab world that extend from, you know, as far as east side, from Iraq all the way to Morocco, those Arab countries, entire this Arab land, no more than 35,000 new titles every year. Meaning one-fifth, one-seventh of what is get published in China. Only in China. Why? Because we care less. Although Quran says Iqra, but we don't read. How many books we read per day, per year? None. Basically none. This is one symptom, this is one caliber to calibrate our awareness is through book reading. But unfortunately, we are so behind where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Imams and the Prophet has emphasized so much on gaining knowledge. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, أَكْثَرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَفْضَلُهُمْ مَعْرِفَةً. The best one who has the best faith is the one who has more knowledge, more awareness. You see, brothers and sisters, I cut short my other numbers. We have suffered, as a Muslim nation, have suffered twice. Why? Due to the lack of awareness. Because we were immature. Because we did not have the necessary awareness. When was that? We see, as the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we see every misery that came to the Islam and Islamic nation started from Bani Umayyah. If Bani Umayyah were not on the throne of power, we would not have seen this chaotic world that we live in. They are the forefather of all trouble around us. One is ISIS. Imam Ali alayhi salam had the opportunity to exterminate Bani Umayyah in the Battle of Saffin. You see, some people think that we Muslims, we are weak and we are backward because we are physically weak. We are not. The problem is that we lack awareness. If we had awareness, we wouldn't have suffered that much. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam had the opportunity to exterminate Bani Umayyah. In one day, Malik al-Ashtar get very close to the tent of Muawiyah. Within few yards, he could go to the tent of Muawiyah and finish Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As. But what did happen? What did Muawiyah do? He used the trick of taking the Quran on the head of the spears and raise the Quran and tell people, oh, we are brothers, why we are fighting? What happened? The Khawarij, the lack of awareness, the lack of intelligence, they force Ali ibn Abi Talib to accept peace and truce with Muawiyah. Malik, he sent a message, a quick message to Malik, Malik, return, come back inshallah, come back. Malik told him, just I have a few minutes, I will finish Muawiyah. He said, if you wait and you come back, you will not see me, I will be killed. Khawarij were bent to kill Ali ibn Abi Talib. That was one miserable event. Due to what? Due to our lack of awareness. The second one is the time of Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil entered Kufa with more than 4,000 supporters. 4,000 warriors with Muslim ibn Aqil. But what trick did Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad use? He came and terrified people, wreaked havoc in the community. He told them that the army of Sham is coming. They will destroy you. They will kill you. He even took the head of tribe. This tribe of Midhaj. He took their leader, Hani ibn Urwa, captive in the palace. They were more than 1,000 warriors. If they could go, if they would have gone inside the palace, no one could have stopped them. They could have killed Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. But they didn't. Why? Lack of awareness. Every man and woman would grab their children and take them, let's go. مَالَنَا وَالدُّخُولِ بَيْنَ السَّلَاطِينَ. There are two princes, two leaders. One is Hussein, the other one is Yazid. Both are fighting for the government. Let them fight. Let us go. That was the second miserable incident in Islam. This is due to what? Due to the lack of awareness. Hurr, Muslim ibn Aqil, was wise man. Imam Hussein alayhi salam sent a wise man, a charismatic one, a knowledgeable man. Men full of faith and valor and courage to Kufa to be the representative of Imam Hussein. He entered Kufa with 4,000 supporters were supporting Muslim ibn Aqil. Every day, a few were leaving and leaving until the last day when he goes to the masjid, 300 people are with him. They even pray behind him. But when he finishes the prayers, he looks behind him, no one is there. Alone in the city of Kufa. He walks in the alleyways of Kufa. He doesn't even know where to go. He finds a lady. He stops by her doorstep and asks for water. Ya Amatullah, would you give me a glass of water? A cup of water. She goes and gets him water. He drinks water, but still, he's not moving. She tells him, Ya Abdullah, halla sharabt al-ma? Didn't you drink water? Yes, I did. So what are you doing here? I would not allow you to stand here in front of my door. Go to your family. Go to your household. Muslim does not reply. Again she calls him, Ya Abdullah, didn't you hear what I have said? Why don't you go to your family? He tells her, Ya Amatullah, Laysa li fi hadha al-Misr min ashira. I don't have a family here. I don't have a tribe in this city. I have been deserted. I have left alone. Who are you? I am Muslim. You are the ambassador of Hussein. You are the cousin of Hussein. Come inside. She welcomes him. She feeds him, but he doesn't eat. Until the next day in the morning, when her son goes and tells the army of Ibn Ziyad that Muslim is hidden in his home. They come and surrender the home. They attack him from everywhere, from every direction. And he keeps fighting and fighting, killing scores of them until they trick. They go and dug a hole and they cover it with vegetations. The horse of Muslim fell
in the trap and they capture him. They beat him, they stroke him from every side until his jaw was broken. Blood was coming from everywhere. They take him to Ibn Ziyad. He goes to Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad tells him, how do you want to be killed? He said, it is up to you. You decide, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will kill you the same way that you will kill me. He said, take them, the same one who hit him on his jaw, take him to the rooftop and behead Muslim. When they brought Muslim to be beheaded, he asked for two things. He said, make me do a 2 rak'ah for prayers. After he finishes his prayers, he looks toward Hijaz, toward the side that Imam Hussein is coming. He says, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Irji' min haythu atayt Aba Abdullah. Go back from the way that you came. Do not come to Kufa. Kufa people have betrayed me. After a while, the people who were waiting outside, they see the headless body of Muslim comes down. It's fallen on the ground. Two people had been dispatched to go and tell Imam Hussein. When they go, they meet Imam Hussein in the midway. They tell Imam Hussein that Muslim had been martyred. Imam Hussein goes to the tent of Muslim. Hamida is the daughter of Muslim. He grabs Hamida. He puts her in his lap and kisses her. He puts his hand and wipes his hand over his head. She looks at him and tells him, Ya'am, there is something wrong has happened to my father. He tells her, how do you know? He said, the way that you are treating me, Ya'am, I have become orphaned. It seems that I have lost my father. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Al-Ali al-Azim, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته